Let me start over. I had that all all messed up there. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Right, so tonight's message is going to be the last in our little series on spiritual strength. And it's going to be how to get stronger, how to increase in our strength. We have to have strength to live the Christian life. You can't live the Christian life without strength. You can't have life if there's no strength. There has to be some strength if there is life. And whenever the Lord saves us, what is it that he gives us? He gives us everlasting life. We are born again. He quickens us from spiritual death and gives us life. And so there is strength there. We are at first as newborn babes desiring the strength or the milk of the Word of God. And what are we to do? We are strengthened and we grow stronger in the Lord. And so we have life, and with that life there's strength. He that believeth upon the Lord Jesus Christ hath at that moment everlasting life. They have within them life given by the Holy Spirit, and that life will never end. It is an everlasting life. So you, child of God, who when the Lord has saved you, you were given life, and that life will never end. You have, at this moment, everlasting life. Now, if you're living in the body of this death, you're living in this flesh, and this flesh will die, but the new man will not die. And the body will be resurrected and reunited with your soul when you're glorified, and you will have everlasting life in that glorified body. But you have, at this present hour, everlasting life. So there is a strength that is within you that is given by God by the fact of your new birth. He that hears the word of God has everlasting life. The seed of that life is planted within you. He that drinks the living waters and eats the meat that endures unto everlasting life will not see the second death. So it's a strength that God gives you that endures forever and ever. I think it's illustrated in the life of Moses, because God gave Moses a physical strength that did not wane. It says in Deuteronomy 34:7, Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. He was a strong when he was 120 as he was when he was 40. His eyes were just as sharp and as powerful as they was. He didn't grow weak. He didn't get his age didn't hamper him. His muscles didn't wither away. He didn't lose any strength. You would have thought he was a young man when he was 120 years old. Well, how is that? Why did he have such remarkable strength? Because God gave it to him. It's not natural. It was not something that Moses could prescribe. I'm surprised that someone doesn't have the Moses diet and exercise plan and sell that and try to make a quick profit. They have the Daniel plan and the Ezekiel plan and all these other diets that they get from the scripture. I'm surprised they don't have the Moses diet, where you eat like Moses and you live to be 120 and you won't need glasses. But it's not natural. You know, Daniel's strength wasn't natural, and Moses' strength wasn't natural. It was given to him by God. So that illustrates how that God gives us strength. It doesn't come from within. It comes from God giving it to us. Even in this flesh, in this time, we need strength to live the Christian life. We can get stronger, but we can also get weaker. You can be strong at one moment in the Christian life, and then you can be weak the next. That's why Paul told us in Ephesians to be strong continually. Don't weaken. Samson illustrates that point. He lived outside the fellowship of God, and he followed the way of the world. And he thought just because God had given him strength thus far in his life, that God would just always give him strength. And so he would go and he'd live how he wanted to, live in rebellion. And whenever he needed strength, it was there. And he'd go and whip the Philistines or do whatever he might do. But whenever he went with Delilah, and whenever he told a secret, when she cut his hair, he went like he used to do, thinking that that strength was there, and he lost it. So that illustrates spiritual strength as well, that if God gives it to us by grace, God can withhold it from us as well. He can pull back on that strength and let us go on our own for a while and see how we like that. And that's what happened with Samson. He went his own way for a while and realized that the strength that he had came from God. And then God gave it back to him for one last time. But that's tonight's message. It's going to deal with how we get stronger. And it might be disappointing if you want five simple steps to grow in strength and so forth, because it's not that. But to the spiritual-minded, I believe there will be spiritual strength. There will be blessings here when we see that it's not something that we can just go home and start doing in the flesh, in our flesh, to gain strength. But it comes from God. But there are ways in which I believe we can grow in strength. In other words, well, in our text, we start off in verse 27 because there's a complaint. Jacob is complaining. He said, "My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God." So they're in a weakened state. The people of God are spiritually in a weakened state because they thought God wasn't with them. My way is hid from the Lord. They thought that they were hidden from God, that they were in the valley and God didn't know what was happening to them. They had been abandoned. They were out in the middle of nowhere. When I went over Beauty Mountain yesterday, I drove across the bridge, and there was fog that filled up that whole valley there, and it looked like I was driving through a cloud. And that whole, because I was thinking the whole way over there, I thought, you know, it's probably going to be pretty when I look over that bridge and see all the leaves and everything. When I get to the bridge and all I saw was fog. It was hidden. The whole mountainside was hidden. I couldn't see it. And that's what Israel said. Our way is hidden from God. God doesn't know our struggles, or he doesn't care about our struggles. We're alone. We've been abandoned. God doesn't see them. God doesn't take up their calls in judgment. Judgment is passed over. That here they are in all this trouble, and God doesn't come, and he's not their advocate. He doesn't take up their calls. He's not there to help them and support them. They've been abandoned. So that's their complaint. Well, verse 28 is the answer to that. Hast thou not known? So that tells us, first of all, that the problem wasn't with God. It was with them. And where was the problem? The problem was in between their ears. The problem was their mind, their thinking. Don't you know? Have you not known? So the first thing we need to think about when it comes to spiritual strength is we have to know these things. We have to know some things. Well, know what? What is it that we have to know? Thou hast not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. The problem was not a problem with God. See, they were blaming God. They were in the darkness and said, "Well, the God, this is your fault." But the problem was really they weren't trusting God. The problem wasn't with their enemies. The problem wasn't with their situation. The problem was one of their mind and of their faith. When when Peter was out walking on the water, and he was walking with, he asked Jesus, "Can I come out there in the water and walk with you?" "Well, sure, come on." And Peter was walking on the water. Then what happened? The wind started blowing hard, and the waves start going up and down, and Peter started to sink. And what he did is shouted out, "Lord, save me! Lord, save me! Help me!" Now, if Jesus would have said, "Save me from what?" What would he have said? Peter would have said, "Well, I'm drowning. The waves are splashing over me. I'm going to die. I'm going to perish out here in this storm. I can't walk on water. I don't have the strength to do this. Save me. Protect me." That was the problem, right? The problem was he can't walk on water, so he's sinking. He's going to drown. The Lord has to save him. But what did Jesus say to him? "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" So what was really the problem? Was it God's problem? Because he shouted out at the Lord to rescue him. Was it the waves? Well, the waves weren't really the problem, because Jesus said his problem was his weakness of faith. Because if he had faith, he wouldn't have been drowning. He looks away from Jesus and he looks at the problem and he starts to drown. So the problem was his faith. The problem wasn't the waves. And so, as Israel here, they said, "My way is hidden from the Lord. The Lord's judgment is passed over us," or "He's not taking up my cause, my judgment. He's not on my side." The Lord says, "Don't you know who I am?" The problem is not with me. The problem is you're not looking to me. And so when we face trials, we complain of our problems, we complain of our circumstances, rather than looking to the Lord. And oftentimes our problem is not the problem itself. If that makes sense. Our problem is not the issue at hand. Maybe would be a better way to say it. The issue is not the problem. It's us not looking to the Lord. It's us not trusting in God is the problem. Not that we have the complaint of verse 27, not because of the issue, but because we're not looking to God. Now, us looking to the Lord might not relieve us of the issue. So we go back to Peter. If Peter had faith, the waves still would have been there. And the wind still would have been blowing. He just wouldn't have been sinking. And so when we have trials, it's much better to look to the Lord and not drown than look away from the Lord and look at the trouble, experience the trouble, and then drown anyway. And then cry out, "Lord, save me." So this is what the Lord is telling the people here. You keep looking at the problem and saying the problem is too great, I'm being hidden. The Lord's saying, quit looking at the problem and have faith and look to me. And what are we looking at here? That God is everlasting. He's eternal. He is the Lord. He is I am that I am. He is Jehovah. He is the creator. He's the creator of the world. He is the creator of our bodies. He's the giver of life. So what issue is it that we have that we cannot turn unto him? Oh, but this goes on for so long. He faints not, neither is he weary. But I don't even understand why this thing happens to me. There's no searching of his understanding. He has infinite power. He has infinite wisdom. He has infinite understanding. He is the creator, so he knows all things in creation and how they work and how they operate. He does not grow weary. There's no ending. There's no beginning to him. He is the eternal God. And he told Israel, "You think that I don't see what's happening. You think that your way is hidden. You think that I don't take up your side in judgment, that you're hidden in this fog of despair and I don't know what's happening. You don't remember who I am. The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator, the infinite one, of infinite power and strength. Look to me." Verse 29 says, "He giveth power to the faint, And to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall be faint and weary, and the young men shall utterly fail or fall. I'm having problems reading today. So spiritual strength comes from where? Comes from God. Not naturally. Young men have natural strength. Youth has natural energy. Isn't that what we all say when we see the little ones running around and jumping and bouncing off the couch and everything? We say, I'd like to have half of their energy. Youth have energy, and the young have strength. Not everybody's like Moses that has their strength doesn't abate. Well, the Lord says that he gives strength. You should rather desire to have the strength that comes from God than the strength that comes from youth. Because even as the little ones bounce around and jump around, they hit a wall and then they just pass out, don't they? You and I can make it all day long without having a nap or going to sleep, but little ones can't really do that because they're at it wide open all day long. So they will eventually faint. They will eventually grow weary and tired. Their strength will fail. But this is a different kind of strength, a superior strength. This is the kind of strength that you can have whenever you're weak. This is the kind of strength that increases whenever your physical strength decreases. God gives this power. It's available to you. So this strength comes from the Lord. So their problem was not a problem with God. It wasn't even really the problem with the enemies. It was their lack of strength, their lack of faith. And God gives strength. The natural strength falls, but God gives strength. Verse 31, how to get stronger. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So here's somebody that has had strength. See, when we were without Christ, Paul said in chapter 5 of Romans, verse 6, that we were without strength. Not that we didn't have a little bit of strength, but we were without it entirely. We had no life without Christ. Well, he gives us life. He gives the life. He gives the strength. And then we grow and increase in strength. So here Israel had strength and they lost it and they had it and they lost it. They're at a point now where their strength is weak. And so the Lord's going to renew their strength. He's going to strengthen their souls. So in order to get stronger, we have to look to the source, the same source that we got it from to start with. God didn't deliver Israel from their troubles. But what he did was he strengthened them in their troubles. And see, that's how God operates in our lives. He won't deliver us out of our trials, but he will strengthen us in our trials. Sometimes he delivers us, is what I should have said. You know, sometimes he does. Sometimes we'll have a sickness and he'll deliver us and it'll be all over with. And sometimes we have a problem and God will get us right out of it and deliver us and save us. But oftentimes, it's God's plan to strengthen us in the trial. And so whether God delivers us or saves us from the trial or strengthens us in it, we have to realize that the Lord is with us the entire time. They saw it as a sign of God's failure that God didn't just pull them out of the trial. But God showed them that his love towards his people, he strengthens the weak, that they might bear up under their infirmities. But sometimes God shows his love by saying, I'm going to get you out of this situation. I'm going to deliver you completely and fully. And it's all going to be, you'll never have to worry about it again. Sometimes the Lord, like he told Paul, I'm not going to deliver you out of your trial. And you're going to be here for a while, but I'm going to give you grace to endure it. God shows his love in both circumstances. God delivered Paul from his enemies many times. But he didn't deliver him from the thorn in the flesh. Was it a sign of God's failure? No, because Paul learned a valuable lesson, and we learned a valuable lesson from that, that when we are weak, Christ is made strong in us. So God shows his love despite or regardless of which way he chooses to do so. God, we might pray and God just might say, no, that's not the best way, but I'll give you strength to endure it. Let's look in a couple of Psalms. Psalm 41. This is a Psalm of David. Psalm 41, and we'll start in verse 1. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in a time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth, and thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. There's three trials here in the first three verses where the Lord shows himself strong. The one is in poverty. The Lord will strengthen those in poverty whenever those in poverty look to him. The Lord will deliver him in the time of trouble. So there's a situation where a child of God is in poverty. It's not a sign of God's displeasure if you don't have the things of this world. Sometimes it's a sign of perhaps God's chastisement over something. Sometimes it's a sign of God's love that he wants poverty to come, that you might not trust in the things of the world and you'll trust in him. Because if all your hope is in material possessions, then whenever material possessions are gone, then where's the thing that you're trusting in? So sometimes it's a blessing that you say, well, I'm in poverty, but the Lord is with me, and I'll trust in him. And my hope is not in the things of this world. My hope is not in the things that I can buy with money, but my hope is in God. So the Lord, in this case, delivered the poor person out of their poverty. Then you have persecution in verse 2. And here the Lord preserves him and keeps him alive in persecution. It didn't stop the persecution, but the Lord preserved him and protected him and kept him. The Lord does that. He does protect his people, and that's one way he strengthened the people. That the persecutors are coming, and God protects them, and so he strengthens their faith to know that the Lord is always with them. The third thing here is sickness. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. That will make all his bed in the sickness. So, what does the Lord say specifically here about strengthening? Well, it's the person on the sick bed. This isn't that the Lord will strengthen them. It doesn't say that he will strengthen them out of the bed of languishing. It doesn't say that he'll bring him up out of the bed of sickness here. But it says the Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of sickness. And upon the bed of languishing, rather. And in his bed of sickness. Here's a case where the body is growing weaker. And the body is losing strength. But the Lord strengthens the one who is sick. You see how the Lord did not deliver the sick out of the sickness, but gave the sick strength to endure the sickness. Now that's the lesson that Paul had to learn. That we all want strength, physical strength, but Paul had to learn the lesson that the Lord is with us and sometimes will strengthen us spiritually when the body is weak. And so so we have a promise here from God. Whether he delivers us out of the situation, whether he protects us in the situation, or whether he just strengthens us and leaves us in that trial, the Lord will strengthen his people when we look to him. And that's the point of the text that we read, that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. waiting upon the Lord. So if you're still in Psalms, look at the 123rd Psalm, verse number 2, because this is what it is to wait upon the Lord. I think we can look at it several different ways, actually, but the first way is just to look to God. Psalm 123, and verse number 2. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God, until that he have mercy upon us. So, we don't have servants, and obviously, but I think we can have a mental picture of a king having a banquet, and then all around the outside of the room, there's the servants, and the servants standing there with their hands behind their backs and standing at attention. What are they doing? They're watching the servants. Or you had the maid servants sitting in the room while her mistress is getting ready. And she's not going to tell the servant everything that she wants. But the mistress just looks, but the maiden just looks at her mistress. And maybe she starts pulling the ribbon out of her hair, and she looks to the maid, and the maid goes and moves upon her command. Or maybe just a look, or the master might be sitting at the dinner and hold up an empty glass, and there the servant knows that the hand of the master is moved, and he springs to action, but they're looking, waiting upon their Lord. Well, that's what do we call, you go to a restaurant, what do you have? You have a waiter, don't you? A waiter or waitress. They're there attending unto you as the patron of the place. So what's a good waiter or waitress do? If you go out to eat and you have to stop them every 5 minutes and ask them for something, well, they're not doing that much of a good job, are they? The best ones are the ones that see that you've got one more drink in your glass, and here they come around and just switch it for you. They don't ask if you want something else to drink. They just bring it to you, because if you're empty, of course you want something else to drink if you're still eating, right? So they wait upon you. They're looking at you, and they're looking at your situation, and they're concentrating on you. Well, in that regard, so our eyes wait upon the Lord, our God, until he have mercy upon us. The servant isn't looking out the window. The servant isn't looking at their phone. They shouldn't be, right? The servant is looking at the master. We must be looking at the master. We must be looking at Jesus. And we have to have our eyes focused upon him. I waited tables at when I got out of high school for a little while, when I was going to school. And you couldn't get distracted if you wanted a good tip, because you had to be focusing on what those people wanted. And if you got distracted, you might leave somebody sitting there for too long and they get mad at you. So you had to be focused. You had to be looking at what they wanted and not be worried about anything else. We have to be trusting in God and obeying God and being faithful to him and rely upon him. And then the trials are going on, the sickness, or the persecution, the temptations are all around. We have to be a humble, obedient servant waiting upon the Lord and looking to him until he have mercy on us. What do you want me to do, Lord? Which direction do you want me to go? How do you want me to pray? I'm looking to you. My focus, my intention, my life is given over to you, and I'm waiting upon you. We wait upon the Lord by looking to him. We wait upon the Lord by expecting, trusting in God's promises. The Lord said in that he is the Lord, he is Jehovah, he is the covenant-keeping God. God has promised to save us. He's promised to provide for us. He's promised to keep us. He's promised to strengthen us. So for 3 weeks now, we've seen God promised to strengthen us. Do you think God is going to strengthen us? He promised to. say, well, I can't. I just can't do it. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that He will strengthen us in our life, in our duty to Him. So we wait upon God, expecting Him to be true to His Word. James Smith said He made it on purpose that you may believe it and draw comfort from it, and pleaded at His throne and expected in His fullness. God made this promise so you would believe it, and that you would look to it, and you would pray it, and then that you would expect it to come true. You remember, look to God in His goodness and expect Him to be a good God. Look to God in His faithfulness and expect Him to be faithful. Has God ever lied to you? Has God ever told an untruth? Has He ever gone back on His word? Then wait on the Lord, expecting the Lord to bless, expecting Him to be faithful, expecting Him to be good, expecting Him to be true to His word. And that will strengthen you. Because you're not trusting in yourself. You're not looking everywhere else for some way to strengthen yourself or some way to escape. You're looking to the Lord, expecting, remembering His goodness, remembering His faithfulness, remembering His power. What's too difficult for God to do? What is it that God can't do? He raised Lazarus from the dead at His word. I'd say everything after that would not be too difficult to raise somebody from the dead. What is it that God can't do? What circumstance is so bad that God is powerless to help? We can't defeat that big old giant Goliath. Look at him. Look how strong he is. There's nobody as good a warrior as Goliath is. Is Goliath bigger than God? Well, David didn't believe so. He didn't go in Saul's armor. He didn't go in his own strength, but he went in the strength of the Lord. So let us wait upon the Lord and expect in the power of God. John Owen said, it's a wondrous sorry waiting on God when we don't expect something from Him. To come together in the performance of this duty or that duty without expecting, receiving something from God, is the way to go as we came without strength. Without strength renewed or without strength increased. We come to a duty and go from the same rate when we have no expectation of receiving anything from God. Where there is no expectation, there is no waiting. Look to God with expectation to receive things suitable to what we expect, and then we shall see His infinite bounty and goodness. This is waiting upon God. Don't say that you're waiting upon God, in other words, and go from this thing to that thing, going through the motions of religion, and say, I know God says to pray, and I prayed, but He's not going to answer me. I know that God says that He is good and faithful, but I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think anything good will come of it. I don't think the Lord will deliver me from this, but I'll go ahead and do it anyway. That's not really waiting upon the Lord. We should expect God's blessings. We should expect God's goodness. And we should expect God at least to strengthen us to endure the trial. That we don't have to just give up, and we don't have to just walk away, and we don't have to be weak in the faith, saying, well, we'll never be delivered from this trial, I'll never be delivered from this sickness. Look to the Lord, and He will strengthen you and give you the spiritual strength to wait upon Him. We need to wait patiently. It's one thing to pray. It's another thing to pray the next day, and then the day after that, and the week after that, and then the month after that. It'd be one thing to pray and we get our prayers answered the next day. It's quite another to pray for years for something. But wait patiently. Don't wear out waiting on God. Look to God when the answer doesn't come as quick as we like. Look to God when the answer doesn't come the way that we like. And be patient and trust in the goodness of God. It's obvious that if you're waiting, you're also praying, pleading and asking for grace. Are you in a trial? Say, well, I haven't been strengthened. Have you asked for strength? Have you prayed for strength? It's promised to us. Have you prayed with faith? Have you prayed expecting? We wait and we look for strength in Christ. Abide in Christ. Christ said He's the vine and we're the branches. Where do the branches abide if the branches have life? In the vine, right? That we abide in Christ. So if you are in Christ, if you are saved, you abide in Him. And you are given life by Him. You're also given strength by Him. If you're not abiding in Christ and feeding upon Christ and drinking of Christ and meditating of Christ and looking to the gospel daily for comfort and for strength and looking at all your trials and problems through the light of being in Christ and what He has promised to you and what He's given to you, that He is with you and He'll never forsake you. That is waiting in Christ. That is abiding in Him. And He will strengthen you by the mere fact that you are abiding in Him. The mere fact that you are waiting on Him and looking to Him, you will be strengthened in these exercises of just looking to Him. You are strengthened in your suffering. Listen to what Peter says, 1 Peter 5:10, after he warns us about the devil. He says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us into eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Say, Lord, strengthen me. Well, sometimes the trial is the training. That the strength comes from the trial. Sometimes strength comes by patiently waiting. And you know what that is, right? It's patience by waiting. And that God will strengthen us in our suffering. Because what happens when you suffer? You look to God. What happens whenever you go through a trial? You pray. You wait. You rest in Him. And so He can strengthen us in suffering. The last thing I want to look at is in 1 Chronicles 16. And these are a few different ones in this section. And I'm not going to go deep into them, just mention them. But it's sort of the overarching point that I've been making, that the strength comes from just being with the Lord. So 1 Chronicles 16, starting verse number 8, this is David's psalm where he thanked the Lord. Starting verse 8, it says, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people, sing unto Him, sing psalms unto Him, talk ye of His wondrous works, glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face continually. Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and His judgments of His mouth. I believe that the Lord strengthens us when we're with Him. The closer you are to the Lord, the stronger you're going to be. The further away you are from the Lord, the weaker you'll be. When was Peter at his strength walking on that water? When he's looking at Jesus. When was he at his weakest? Whenever he was looking away from Jesus. When was Peter most bold? When he was with Jesus. When did Peter fail? When he was warming himself by the fire away from Jesus. When the apostles were preaching and bold and in the power of the Spirit, what did the enemies of God say? They said, well, these guys have been with Jesus. Because they had strength and boldness and confidence in the Word of God, and they weren't afraid of anything. And whenever these men had boldness and strength and confidence, even in the worst of times, and they didn't flinch, what was it the ungodly people said? Well, these people look like they've been with Jesus. They act like it because they have strength. The strength that the Lord gives is with the Lord. It's not in ourselves. It's not in the world. And when you try to find strength out there, you'll fail. But when we wait patiently and look to the Lord, we'll find strength for the day. It's what it says in Deuteronomy 33:25. And as thy days, so shall thy strength be. That was a promise to one of the tribes of Israel. That's a promise to God's people. As your days, so shall thy strength be. You will have strength for the day. And so, it says, seek His strength. Look to the Lord. Seek it. But notice some of those things that David talked about in that psalm. And I think if we do these things, we'll be seeking after the Lord. We'll be closer to Him. And so, giving thanks. Being a thankful person is to look to God, who's blessed, who's the source of blessings. Praying, David mentions there. Singing. Sing songs. Sing psalms of Him. Singing will strengthen you. We don't think of that, but it does. Whenever you sing songs, when you sing out, the Lord will strengthen you. He will give you spiritual strength because that's just a means of which God brings us closer to Him. To be filled with the Spirit, if you look in the context of Colossians and Ephesians, being filled with the Spirit, not with wine, but with the Spirit, what do you have there in that section? You have singing psalms. That'll strengthen you to sing unto the Lord. Talk of the Lord. Talk about to the Lord talk to other people about the Lord. What He's done for you. Glory in His name. Seek the Lord. Seek His face. Seek His strength. He is the source of our strength, and He's the way to renew it. The Lord has promised He will renew our strength. Some of the strongest people I've ever known, spiritually strong people, were physically weak. That they didn't have physical strength, and some of them, ages had worn them down. But they were men of prayer, women of faith. They were unshaken in trials. They overcame suffering with joyfulness. And they went on to receive their reward, praising the Lord. They had strength. They had spiritual strength because they were close to the Lord. And they were weak in the body, but they were strong in the spirit. Their strength came from God, so they waited on Him. They were way past the point of ever hoping to have any physical strength. But they knew their strength was in God, and they waited on Him, and He strengthened them, and He helped them. The Lord has promised us strength. We know that. The Lord has told us we need it. We have to have it. But He's also promised to increase it when we're waiting on Him, when we're walking with Him, when we're by His side. If you want strength, the question is, are you walking with Jesus? Are you close to Jesus? Well, if you're not, you're not close to your strength. You're far from the source of your power. If you want spiritual strength, walk with Jesus. Because He's promised to give it to us. May the Lord bless you this week. And watch over.